Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, literary buffs and methodical introverts. My name is Jared, and with me is a friend of introverts, Ian.
Well, that's me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Today, we're at the feature table, where we will be looking at A Place for All My Books, designed by Alex Cutler and Michael Mehel. You guys, I had this perfect before we started. I'm so frustrated.
In his head. It was perfect.
Thank you. And Michael Mehelsik. Artwork created by Naomi Lord and published by Smirk and Dagger Games.
A Place for All My Books is a cozy game where players hang out in their apartments, reading, organizing, and moving books inside their homes to complete projects to score points. But, as every introvert knows, you have to build up your social battery to go out into public. Players must increase their collection of books by going out into the town to visit the bookstore and the library, maybe even the park. Players will continue to score points from these projects throughout the game until the sun sets on the evening. The player with the most elaborate and organized collection is the winner. Let's review A Place for All of My Books.
That was so sweet. So calming.
I think that's what this game is definitely meant to be.
Well, I mean, it is definitely cozy. Cozy and cozy. Crunchy at the same
cozy,
time.
Cozy and crunchy, yeah.
But before we get into the crunchy, Ian, I have a question for you. What do you like to do when you're all peopled out?
Oh.
Does that happen to you?
I don't think it does. All peopled out, if I'm like truly worn out, I do either play board games, even though that is with other people, or I'll play some, you know, maybe some video games and kind of, and just mindlessly play something.
Okay.
I'm not a big book reader yet in my life.
Yeah, I love that aspirational goal is there.
The goal is there. I want to be that. My wife is, which we'll probably get into of why this game exists in my life to begin with. But
sure.
Overall, no, I don't say that I go to the book nook and escape. What about you?
Yeah, I also don't read as much as I would like to. I blame my children for that. I'm too busy taking care of them.
Totally fair.
But I do when I'm all peopled out, and that does happen for me, I do like either going on a walk by myself. We mentioned before, back in the day, I used to go to the movie theater by myself. That was my sanctuary, man. I loved going to the theater by myself.
Yeah.
I've even gone on like a whole weekend. Introverts are gonna laugh, like, "Ooh, you did a whole weekend." But I've gone like on a whole weekend, like just by myself, and like went to some cabin, just out in the middle of nowhere, and just had a few days of quiet, just to myself. Really enjoyed that as well. So, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. I do kind of sit in that weird space of I'm like kind of right on the line of an extrovert introvert, but yeah, sometimes it's needed, man. And so it's good to get away. I do read some books when I get away sometimes. I'm actually more of an audiobook listener than I am a reader. So it's just how I can get it in right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good way to go. I have listened to some audiobooks, but yeah, I need to do more because that, I mean, I do think, you know, you're not exactly reading it, but you're listening to it. So I think it's something that you can do to get around that. Spending time doing, but I do think, yeah, getting away is always nice. You know, and getting out to a cabin, in the woods is always a nice, relaxing, time. So
we'll have to do that soon.
Yeah. I think we have something planned actually. So,
all right, Ian, tell us how to play this game.
Yes. So, this is a place for all my books. So players will be going throughout the game, collecting points via little project cards, major accomplishment cards, or other neat stuff. Each of these is the main scoring mechanic to score, and you'll be collecting these throughout the game, and then at the end of the game, you'll kind of add them all up and score some points. Now, how do we collect all of these projects and other neat stuff? Well, on your turn, there's kind of two spaces of game that you can play. You can play inside your apartment, or you can go out into public, into the town, and visit the town. But we'll start with your apartment. So your apartment has multiple locations, and this is kind of like a worker, one worker placement type of game, where you're going to move your little person around your apartment and do specific actions. Some of those actions include leaving the house, which is we'll get to. But one thing that you could do is you could read a book. And you can place a book anywhere amongst your board. Now, your board, usually it has squares all around, and you actually have these wooden books of four different colors. You have blue, red, yellow, and green. And you'll be kind of manipulating these books around your apartment to score. And that's what you'll be looking at, is those project cards. And it kind of wants a specific organization to score those points and score points from that card. So an example is that you need a tall stack of books of all of the same color. So let's say you need like five books of one color all in one stack of books. So these actions that I'm mentioning are going to be one of the main ways to do those things. Reading a book is one of them. So when you read a book, you place a book anywhere that it's amongst your apartment, and you place it on your nightstand. Your nightstand is one of the locations inside this apartment that you you live in. The next thing is sort. So you can take a stack and you pick them up, and then you sort them and you disperse up to two max to any other location. So it's a good way to take a big stack of books and kind of sort them into different colors and all around your apartment. The other thing is gather. So gather, you can take one book from multiple stacks, and then you create a nice big stack, and you put that stack somewhere else. So you can take like a bunch of other books from all over the apartment, organize it into one nice organized stack. The last, one of the major other things you can do is rest. So rest, basically, you get some social battery, which all of these actions that I mentioned will gain you social battery. But you rest, you gain some more little project cards for you to complete later, but you also gain a little bit of extra social battery when you rest. The last thing is admire. So admiring, you're going to score these little project cards that I mentioned that have these organizational goals that you're trying to achieve. You can place your worker or your person there, score those cards. You can score as many as you want that you have completed and have the goal completed. Score them. They put them into a pile. They'll be scored at the end of the game, but you are, you know, completing them. So setting them aside temporarily till end game scoring. Again, like I mentioned, all of these score give you social battery, and you can have a max of 20 social battery. A lot of these actions gives you 1 to 2, maybe 3, depending on some extra things that you have. You can leave the house. This is the last action that I mentioned. When you leave the house, you have to pay 5 social battery just to get up the energy to go outside.
Wild.
Then, after you leave, you get to go to town and spend more social battery, because for those that are introverts know that everything you do out in the town just beats you down.
It's expensive, Ian. Very expensive.
It's expensive. So once you're in town, you can go to a couple locations, including like the library, where you get to draw some of these book, you know, tiles, but they're actual books. It's actually kind of cool, from a bag, and you get to pick kind of any that you want. You take 5, pick one, or pick 2, depending on how many, you know, what you're playing. Keep those. The rest end up going to the bookstore, which is another place you can go to. You can go to the bookstore and purchase them using social energy. You're not actually purchasing, but use your social energy to claim a stack of books at the bookstore. There's different stacks. You know, the bookstore kind of is slowly rotating its catalog. And so you can go and pick up, a group of tiles of those books and collect them. And so you'll put these all into your backpack. Anytime you get books outside, you're not at home. You can't put them on your shelf. You have to put them in your backpack. Your backpack technically only holds 12. It holds 6 into each slot. It has 2 slots. And so a max of 6 into those locations. You could put it in your backpack, though, but your backpack can only carry so much. One of the other actions you can do is you can go to the exchange, where you exchange books from your nightstand, which I mentioned earlier, and you get to take a book of any color that you want, which is pretty neat. One of the main other locations is the Village Shops, which is how you gain these other neat stuff, which the other neat stuff is stuff that does cool things, which is like gain you kind of odds and ends abilities, and it has add extra scoring at the end of the game. They're all worth victory points at the end. And so those are ways to get those points, get those cards, which end up being points, and also give you like some extra abilities. On each of those locations, though, there's only one spot for a player. So if there's multiple players in a spot, let's say I want to take the spot that Jared's in. Let's say I want to go to the Village Shops and he's there. I can go there, but I have to kick him out onto the street. He ends up going to the park and kind of relaxing. And when this happens, a player can gain some extra social battery because they kind of like build up a little extra social battery while they're hanging out at the park. This is the only way throughout the game that you can score gain social battery while out in public, so you have to be kicked out of a location to go to the park. You can't choose it as an action on your turn.
Let's be clear, you're not kicking them to the curb. No introvert is going to do that.
The store got a little crowded,
so the one introvert left. The other introvert accidentally walked in on somebody else being in the store. Let's just
basically,
and so the other person has to go for a walk because they're overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's basically, yeah, thematically that's what it is. Now, once you have used up most of your social battery, you choose to go back home. You go back to your home, to your apartment. You place all your books that were in your backpack, you empty them into your apartment, and then you take a following action, which I mentioned earlier, which is one of those apartment actions. You continue the rest of your turn once you leave the town. You take one action at a time. The turns go round and round until the sun goes down. The sun tracker is on the main village board. That board, every time a player goes from their apartment to the village, it knocks down on that tracker. That does change per player. For how many players you have, the tracker does change. But once the sun goes to the last round, you will finish the turn order. Then you play one more final round. After you do that, players will add up all of the points they've had from those little projects. There's also major accomplishments that players will score points from. Those are public, and you score those immediately. They're scored kind of slightly different than the little projects. They're very similar, though, in what you're trying to achieve. You need a large stack of books, or the way your books are organized in your apartment. Very similarly, you'll score points on that. You'll score points based off the other neat stuff. You also score points based on how much social battery you have left. For every four, you'll gain a point. And then you also score 1 point per book that you have in your collection. That includes your backpack. You will add all of these points up. The player at the end of the game that has the most points is crowned the best collector of books.
Does an introvert want to be crowned?
That's a good point. I don't know. They will be crowned, though.
Okay. Metaphorically speaking, of course. In their own apartment, by themselves.
In their own apartment.
Okay. Very good.
Well, there you go.
Whew, my social battery spent just listening to you explain that game. I'm just kidding.
I tried to make it the least amount of stressful burden possible.
Yeah. I mean, you did a good job. It is interesting, though, right? We'll just kind of jump right into it about the combination of cozy and crunchy in this game. It is a very fascinating concept because...
Yeah.
Not only on its surface, but like there is a way to play this game where you're just, you know, casually moving books around, going to the town every once in a while, not really doing too much. But like to really get into this game, your brain's working a good bit. You're not just chilling on the lazy boy.
No,
with a blanket
no.
And a hot chocolate. And like your brain's working.
Absolutely. No, this game is, there's not a ton of player interaction. There's limited, you know, if I can go and snatch up some books that you were thinking about getting from the bookstore, that's about the only interaction is. And then, yeah, obviously if you get kind of knocked out of your location in the town, you go to the park. That, even though that happens, you're still gaining, you know, energy from it, which is really
sure.
Helpful. So, and then you could always go right back to that location, so it's not a problem. But overall, yeah, it is a thinker. It's an organizational worker placement style game. Definitely the organization goal completion, is really the main ticket here. And so, yeah, you're trying to optimize the amount of turns. Like in a game like this, it's turn optimization. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at, how many of those little projects can I complete all in one turn? You're drawing the right ones. You're drawing a couple extra. And because you can have a max of five, I think you start out with three. So sometimes I'll like draw some extra at the beginning of the game, trying to figure out like this game plan that I want to try and do with my apartment. And you'll try and like sync them all up and try and score like three or four of them all at once, because that is the most efficient way to score. And so you're right. You are thinking through these turns, trying to get the right stack of books and organizational things going on inside your apartment so you're not wasting any turns. And oftentimes I do feel like I do waste turns though, no matter what. Like that's how a game like this happens. Is that you're always still wasting, it's unless you play an absolutely perfect game, so I think there's always room for growth in this game. I think you can always improve how you play, which I think is really cool, because I think overall this game's pretty chill. It doesn't, yeah. Yeah, you just kind of, it's just take your turn. You organize some things, the options are usually pretty clear to you, especially if you have like two cards that are pretty similar. You're like, oh, that's easy. I'll just put these books in this way, and so, but oftentimes when you have like a hand of three or four, you're like, okay, how do I make this work? What actions do I need to take in the different orders to really maximize, and how to get to the, that turn where I'm scoring all of them together. And so anyway, good. Yeah. I think you tell me what you think about that. I think it's very interesting.
It's interesting, right? Because you do want to maximize your turn, but you can also end up tripping yourself trying so hard to maximize it that you end up foregoing other things that you could just be plugging along at a good pace, and you can miss out on that because you're so focused on, I am going to build the optimal turn by doing this and then doing this.
Exactly.
And then doing this, and you like try to keep up with all that in your head, and like you just described in the how to play, like there's so many different things going on that you can, I did it multiple times where I was like, I started and I was so excited. And then I was like, crap, I didn't actually want to do that yet. I wanted to do this and this first. And I got too excited. I got ahead of myself. And like, at least for me, maybe it's just my brain. Maybe other people who read books are better at it, but
I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's a very interesting tension of how much do I optimize the one turn versus taking what I can get? Because there is an aspect of not necessarily only turn optimization, because it's also, you're on a clock and another player could choose to play less optimally and rush the game, which is ironic for the theme, but from a mechanic standpoint could rush the game.
Speed read.
And you don't ever get a chance to optimize to the ability that you wanted to because they're rushing the game.
Yeah, I've not seen anybody do that yet in this game. I think it would be an interesting strategy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would pan out. I mean, it's a possibility of it working out. I do think there are things you want to try and do in the game.
Well, for sure. Don't get me wrong. Like, you're not trying to end the game as quickly as possible, but...
Well, I mean, it might. I don't know. I haven't seen it tried yet, so I wonder if it's a viable strategy or not. I don't know.
But I do think it's something where you don't know the clock. You don't know how fast someone else is going to go back to town and move that sundial and cause you to have less turns than you think you have. And there are times where, because you're only doing one thing at a time, you don't know what you're risking by, I'm going to do action A and I really need to do action B on my next turn. But with everybody else going, who knows what they decide to do? Like, there's a lot of options. And so that clock is constantly unknown for a good portion of the game, which I really enjoy that.
Yeah, no, and even though like you can watch that tracker going down, like really you're counting down to the second to last one.
Sure. Yep.
Because like if somebody hits up the town to knock it down to the one away, you kind of get screwed in the end because, and that's happened to me two times actually in the games that I played, is that I was trying to get to town kind of before that last wave and ended up like somebody got it down to one away. And the reason that matters is that when it's one away, when you go, you trigger the end game in a way is that you finish the rest of the round and then everybody gets one more turn. And oftentimes you need like three turns
and you're only
in
two.
The town to really make use of it. So I'm only getting two. And so it's just not efficient enough. And so you really try to beat that. And that happened in both my games, and I ended up just either not going to town, or I did go to town and buy just a bunch of books. In one of the other games, I just didn't go to town, and I got a bunch of other little projects and kind of called it a day. So kind of just depends on the situation. But it is an interesting – it is a clock that you're like – you don't really know when it's going to end.
And it goes faster than you think it will a lot of times.
And it does.
You know,
it
does. You're like, oh, I'm just doing my own thing. But that kind of that brings me to another point that I want to discuss. I really love the fact that this game has two arenas. Mm-hmm. It has the arena of your own apartment where you're really just doing your own thing. Nobody can mess with you there. You're in your safe space and you can make it look like you want it to. But the longer you spend there, the less potential you have to get what you need out in town. And I remember when you first taught me this game, like we got through the first half of teaching me the apartment and I'd almost forgotten there was this middle section. I was like, well, I'm good. Like we can do this game now.
Yeah, we're good. I got it.
Like, I got it.
I'll organize it.
Got it.
Perfect.
I can do it.
Perfect.
So then when you add the town and all the things going on there, it's lots of opportunity for lots of different things for sure.
Yeah. So as we, you know, as I look at this game, you know, the floor plan is kind of small. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't take up a big footprint.
Sure.
There are some boards and cards and then all the books go in a bag. So like, and then they stay on your board. So not taking up a large footprint. The art fits like super, super well.
It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I think it's a really nice, look. I think the boards fit with the rest of the overall vibe. It doesn't feel out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And I will mention this, is that the organizing on your board is really cool. Like the goals that they have, those little projects, as an example, like some of my favorites are like, you know, have so one that I remember doing is like two stacks of books that had two different colors in it, but only two colors. So you'd have to have two greens and two yellows in a stack, and two greens and two yellows in another stack, and they had to be equal, and like stuff like that. Or like in the four corners of your apartment, there had to be yellow books, or you know, all of your central spaces, or all of your bedroom had to be full of so many blue books. Like when you start adding all the different cards and all the different types of these, it's just so fun. Like you're trying to okay, that's cool. All right, now I'm going to take this action and move some other books around. It just feels like you're like organizing your books.
Sure.
It does feel like you're doing that very much. And I think just the coziness of the board, your character, you know, each person gets a character, and there's the different colors. So you have a blue, red, yellow, green, and each character has a different vibe. But you see your character on your board doing different things. Like you see, like the one I'm looking at, she's reading a book. One of them, she's got like a pile of books. She's like sorting. It looks like she's sorting, or she has like her. She has a little coffee mug. She's sipping her tea or something for rest. And so, like, I just think they really knocked you out of the park with the theme here of. Not obviously the game itself theme, but like adding things to really bring that like coziness and just overall, you know, that coffee shop, like, you know, relaxing at your house with a cup of tea, reading a book, like that vibe is here all amongst the game, not just like in just talking about the game, but also looking at it. And
sure.
I think that's that's a really neat, and I think that's a good way to approach a theme in a game, and I think that's important to you know, to look at, especially when we're examining a game. But I think overall they should be applauded in achieving their goal here, as I think they did a really good job in managing all those things and making it feel super cozy.
Yeah. I would say too, like, even on the retail level, not the deluxe version, it's beautifully produced. Like all the wooden tokens for the books, and you know, you mentioned the art, the artwork is incredible, but you know, playing the game, you wouldn't know it was not a deluxe edition when you're looking at the base game. And then obviously the deluxe is even better on top of that. But I just really like the commitment to creating this high quality experience. And I think too, like, it is interesting, right? Because you think at first you're going to be talking about books, but books are almost, it's almost a game about being an introvert or organizing your stuff, because
it is.
You're not ever really interacting with the books. The books are they're just pieces. Like, they could be anything.
They could.
I thought that was very interesting. I will say, and I know, like, I get why they did it, because of the point I just made of it's not really about the books. But I feel like, and I was thinking about this a lot, because I did notice it, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal until Anna brought it up. So we're not easy for you to say.
Easy now.
Anna brought up, she's like, I just didn't like that they were red books and they were blue books and they were yellow books and green books. And why couldn't they be genres of books? And I was like, no, that's a good point. Because, you know, I kind of feel like we're at a stage in board gaming where games are expected to look nice. And so I think, why are we not also expecting the theme to spill over in multiple areas? And it could have been just as easy to say that red books are young adult novels or romance novels or whatever, you know? And that way it adds a little bit more, because I feel like when you start simplifying and it's a trade-off, right? Because then it's like, oh, well, I have to keep up with what this color means. But
sure,
you're also staying in the immersion. And I think the value of this game is the immersion of it. I mean, it's a good game. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed it. But it's the immersion of doing this really cozy thing. This, like, we're going to play a board game, but we're also going to take time to rest and relax that we don't do enough in real life, I feel like.
Sure. No, it's a good point, and I know we had that conversation after the game as well. Is, you know, is there a way to house rule an opportunity to change the colors of the books? Yes, you could do that, but all of the cards do say the colors. So, like you're saying, I think there's a missed opportunity potentially to name them. And I would be curious of what the designer said, because I do think that had to have been a conversation at some point. You're like, hey, what if we just made, and somebody, they decided is like, it's just easier if we say, hey, these are red books, blue books, and green books, and yellow books.
Keep it simple. Cause it's not about the books then, at the end of the day.
And then, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that part of the theme you could definitely make for yourself. But it would have been, you know, if you're going to do it that way, it would have been nice for all the cards to also, like, say it. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's an addition at some point. I don't know. But
I doubt it.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Overall, yeah. I mean, that's getting nitpicky in a way, is that we do. And we were talking about another game. I think that's really what brought it up. We were talking about another game that was also about collecting books. Mm-hmm. And that one did have like seven different genres of books inside, and it was also about organizing the genres amongst your shelf. This is more like you just have stacks of books. You're kind of like just organizing inside your apartment and not necessarily on a shelf though. And there's only four, so the colors does make sense in a way.
Yeah, no, it does. I understand it.
Yeah.
I understand the choice. I think simplicity was key here, but also it would have been
the immersion factor would have been pretty cool to have that feature. No, but overall, like, I think, like we said, those cards, and then we didn't really get to the other neat stuff. Do you have any points on the other neat stuff?
I think it's fun. It's a struggle, right, when you look at a thick deck like they have for
There's
all
a lot.
The other neat
There's
stuff. And one of the things in the other neat stuff is collecting sets of a very specific thing. And then you also add in the factor that it's going to end soon. Like, you don't know how long of a game you have.
Yeah.
And so even when I would grab one of the, I think it was like collecting board games as one of the side things, you know, I would be like, okay, if I get more of these, then that's going to be great. And I got that on like turn one. And or what, like, it was the very, I was the very first person to go to town. That's what I went for. And I was like, I'm going to start collecting these just because I can do it now. And I never saw another one. And some of that's just card flip, you know, so it's whatever. But also I'm like, man, do I want the deck to be that thick if I'm looking for those pieces, especially in a four player game, you know? So that was one thing that I was like, I don't know. But I will say, like, I thought all the stuff that was in there was very cute and very on brand. There were some fun power-ups if you didn't take one of the point things. Like, if you went with some of the other options, it was really helpful. And yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I do particularly like the other neat stuff. I think it adds that little extra flair, because overall, like, it's pretty straightforward. You know, you go collect books, bring them back to your apartment. But now, oh, there's something else I can spend my energy on, which is to collect this other neat stuff, which is really just straight points and then an ability.
Sure.
It doesn't have any, it doesn't give you any books. It oftentimes doesn't let you do anything specific. They do have some cool abilities where there's like, there's bookends that you can find in this stack. There's other just random things.
It's a big deck.
No, there is. And I do agree in a way. I think those ones that you're collecting, the amount of them is just how many more points you get. I don't know. I it's like a double-edged sword, because you don't want there to be so many that everybody can just get a bunch of them. So you want it to be kind of random. But
you're taking a chance. Like, that's what it is.
But yeah, and we did play, I will say, we did play with one set that was a Kickstarter exclusive, so those sets aren't in the normal. So you could leave those out.
You wouldn't even notice.
So that would have only been one. Really, it would just be, because there's board games inside that deck. That would be the only one that's like that. And so it would be the most rare, but also that would kind of limit it and give you more of all of the other types. So,
but there were other things to collect as well. It's not like, you know, there was multiple types of things you could collect. So you're not really missing anything from the game perspective by not having that.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, in the end, I guess you could remove those if you didn't like that type of card and kind of just stick with the other things, because there's plenty of them. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So overall, like, I think all of these combinations here, again, this game plays pretty quick. I mean, I guess in a four-player game, what, it took us like maybe an hour and a half at the most?
Yeah, and that was with the teach.
Yeah, so I think, especially in a two-player game, you could knock this out in like 20, 30 minutes. And yeah, in a four-player game that knows what they're doing, about an hour, you know, if you're taking your time with it, trying to optimize a little bit.
I feel like the two-player game is very solitaire. I mean, it's a pretty solitaire game already.
Yeah.
But there's just, even in a four-player game, I felt like there was a decent amount of room in town where I wasn't really interacting with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And two-player just really opens that up. And so it's a little bit of a different game, but I don't know that I have an issue with it. You just got to be aware, like, that's what you're signing up for. It's not a game where there's hardly any interaction. There's none.
Yeah, when you play with 1 to 3 players, you flip the city board over, and it only has one bookstore spot.
Sure.
Instead of two. So, and so there's always 3 shelves, though, to pick from. So I actually think at a 3-player game, I think that obviously the board gets a little tighter. I could see a little bit more interaction. But in a 2-player game, yeah. Oh, and this game does go, it's 1 to 4. There is a solitaire version that you play against a bot. What's her name?
The ultimate extrovert.
Yeah, you play.
She doesn't have a name. It was like Penelope or something like that.
Yeah, it is Penelope. Look at that. You got it right. So, yeah, you play against yeah, the popular schoolgirl probably. This is the vibe I'm getting from this. But so anyway, yeah, you play against her, and I have not played the solo. So I will say that now. I'm not into solos. I would potentially try this though. I think this game would be fast enough for me to be like, oh, I kind of want to try a solo game. This one would be probably towards the top of the list because it's going to go pretty quick.
Yeah.
And the setup is not terrible. Oftentimes, like some of the other solo games I have, it's a little bit more of a setup and it's just a lot. And so this one is a little bit more straightforward. So I might give it a try at some point. But overall, I think, you know, this is going to have a retail version. This was a Kickstarter early this year. And so
it's in Barnes and Noble. It's already the Barnes and Noble game of the year.
Yeah. So like this is the normal box. So that's what you're going to be looking for. But the Kickstarter, I guess, did have this nice, pretty green,
very fancy
with the fancy thing. And the books themselves had a little bit of foil on them. And there was like a couple little things, but the foil on the books, I ain't gonna lie, that is pretty cool. And then all of your individual player pieces and all that are wooden with the Kickstarter. Like you said, the base to Kickstarter, pretty similar. Like if somebody said, oh, here you go, play this. Like it's got the wooden books in both copies. It's just a little extra.
Yeah.
And then I like extra wooden pieces. That's why I ended up getting it. And I will say this, I don't know if it's, I guess that's where we're going to in part of this is, so I, when I saw this game on Kickstarter, not something I would normally pick out. I'll just be very clear there, but my wife is a book lover.
Mm.
And so I was like, you know, this seems kind of fun. You know, I've been trying to pick out some more games for her as well. And it just seemed like right down her alley. And so I backed it, and I was really excited to get it to the table with her, and I think she really loves it. And so it's the perfect amount of, like, low stress, but also has a good amount of think.
Yeah.
She likes a heavy theme. She wants to feel like – she doesn't want to feel like she's just moving stuff around, and that's it. Like, there's a goal. There got to be a goal to what, you know, thematically. And so she really likes that aspect of this game. And then, you know, obviously, like, yeah, the introvert, because that's more of what she is. She relates. And so I think all of those things, again, I got it really for her to try, and I was really, really happy with it. I think it works really well. And so if you are a book lover, if you're an introvert, you know, and you don't like big, heavy games either, that's not something she loves. This worked for her, so I would definitely highly recommend in that regard, is that it just has that kind of perfect balance of these different mechanisms that work really well together.
I think, too, like if you're someone who's looking for a non-combative, a non-we're-going-to-screw-each-other-over, this is it. Like it's, you get to kind of just enjoy the time. It's very relaxed, like we've been talking about. So if that's something that you're into as well, I just think that this is a really good fit for that. I'm not even really a big book lover, and I really enjoyed the experience of what the game facilitates, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
It was very interesting kind of quote unquote organizing the collection, because it made me think about when I organize my games or when I organize other things. I'm like, yep.
It did feel like that as well.
I am thinking through all this and what might fit or won't fit. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and then you go into the exchange and, you know, sell games and get new ones.
That's right. We do that.
Then you go to the used game store and get some used games, you know, instead of buying brand new. It did feel like you could relate this to other hobbies as well. And I 100%. Think that's I kind of like that as well. Like I know the color thing is something we talked about. I think in the end I do like just the straight colors, because I kind of picture, you know, many of these other things that you could be using and organizing. So I think it's kind of cool.
Nice. There you go.
Well, I think overall this is a family game. I think it works really well if you're used to playing. I mean, you know, even, you know, Wingspan is obviously something that I really enjoy. This is a little, I think, lighter than that. But if you've played any of those kind of lighter family games, if you like family games and you want something that's non-confrontational, you know, you can, it kind of introduces you to worker placement. If you're not really played worker placement before, you're like, oh, I've heard that term, or I'm telling you for the first time, worker placement is a gaming term that are in many, many games. And this is a really, really good introduction to that mechanism. I think there's not anything overly complicated within that mechanism in this game. But I think it's a really good intro to that type of game. And then the organizational itself, like just moving your books around, trying to complete objectives, is a really, really neat game. And I think overall that's going to work more well like a family light game. And you know, again, it's not stressful. And if you're into really heavy, complicated, you know, I want to beat my opponent down, that's not what this is. So I guess stay away. Or, you know, take a chill pill, you know, and go hang out with your books, I guess. Like maybe if that's what you're into as well. So
I do think like that's that for me is the question. Are you looking for a relaxed, chill experience? A something that you can play this. You can play this with gamers. You can play this with non-gamers.
Absolutely.
Anybody can get this to the table. But the question is, are you wanting a chilled experience that still has some meat on the bone? If that is what you're looking for, then this game is great. I will say personally that I really enjoyed it. The experience did exactly what I expected it to do. Yeah. I knew nothing about this game when it was on Kickstarter. I totally missed it. But then saw it at Gen Con. The owner of the publishing company walked us through it. I mean, the art pops. Like, you can't miss it when you're looking around. And listening to it, I was just like, yeah, this is going to be this kind of game. And it was. And that's great. Like, it's a very unique, like, most of my games are very, like, head in hands, like staring at the board, looking for everything that I can to optimize what I'm doing. And this had a much more chill feel to it, where I could still think about it, but I'm not stressing over every little thing. And if I don't win, or if Ian makes a better move, then whatever. It's totally fine.
Yeah. No, I think, like you said, I think this, yeah, this is definitely a more chill experience. I think you know, if you, we all, I'm lost for thought, but what I'm trying to say is that we are looking for games that are, I'm looking for games that are like this, that I enjoy, my wife enjoys. And so it's a nice breath of fresh air for mm-hmm. me to find a game that works yep. in that type of game. I don't always get that. I do feel like sometimes in a game like this, it can be kind of mindless. You're not using your brain. You're just kind of like, ah, let's do this. I don't really care. I was caring when I played this game.
Like, absolutely.
I was intentionally trying to maneuver stuff around so that this game is not mindless. And so you are intentional, even though it is super chill. Like I didn't really like in the end, I was like, this is like, it is what it is. I just moved some bucks around, but it is not mindless. There is some thought going into your turns. And I think that's what kind of makes this game step above for me.
Sure.
Is that it's not like I've played games like this and they are chill. That's really good. But I kind of just like was mindlessly playing, not caring in any regard. That is not the case in this game. I did feel like, you know, I was trying to complete the objectives and it was really fun to do so. And also I liked the other neat stuff. That's one of my favorite aspects of the game. I've won the game based off collecting a bunch of that and getting a bunch of points that way. So I love that there's kind of these multi ways to score. It's not just like, oh, yeah, complete all the little projects. Like I've seen people score by having a ton of books. They just literally kept going to the store getting more books. They completed way less of the projects than I did, but they still won just because of the amount of books. And then I've won the other way. I've gotten a bunch of other little stuff. There's so many opportunities here to kind of focus your attention on and all those things. And I kind of want to compare it, I guess, in a way, Jared. How do you feel about this? Is like we talked about one of our earlier reviews was Let's Go to Japan. That game was in a way like you got some cards, you pick one. like, yeah, that has a lot, a little bit more thinking it is because you're trying to really organize. Sure. But same thing, you're kind of organizing your trip. Like, you're kind of organizing it. In the end, it's fun. There's not a ton of interaction. It's low stress. That's the type of game here that I'm kind of getting this. I think this is a little lighter than that, but I do feel like that's the type of environment that we have here, is this very kind of low stress environment that you are. It is still thinky, though.
I think that's a fair comparison. Yeah, and I will say this, and I think, Ian, this, I'm curious if you, what you think of this take. Because I think the thing with this game specifically, if you don't, if you're not looking for that cozy atmosphere like we were talking about, I think the game's just okay. Like, I would play, yeah, Let's Go to Japan 10 out of 10 times versus this game if all I'm looking for is one of these kind of organize your stuff games.
Sure.
That's just me. Like, that, I don't think that's everybody, but because I think for some people, the books is going to grab them in. For some people, it's the introvertedness of trying to think through that, whatever it may be, you know? But for me, that's what I mean by when I say, if you want that cozy experience, because that's what this game offers you. And I agree with you that you want the hobby to have games like this, because this is an excellent gateway into multiple different mechanics in the hobby.
Yeah.
And it's so accessible from a theme perspective to so many people. So I mean, with that, I say well done to Smirk and Dagger.
Yeah, this is a good design. And I guess answer that, I think I agree that this is, if in a way that if it were just the game, maybe.
Yeah.
I do think the theme is definitely helpful in that regard. What I will say is that for my wife, She likes Let's Go to Japan. That I love Let's Go to Japan.
And I do obviously, too.
If
I
you mean, listen to this podcast, talked, you know. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we've shown
because that is a little bit more thinky. You are, you know, really trying to trigger a lot of different things within that game. And my wife likes it, but this one I know she likes more because it's not. It's kind of that step below of what that is. And I think there are a lot of gamers in that area that really do enjoy playing games. They like that competitive environment, as in, like, you know, you're just playing a game together trying to, you know, somebody's got to win. And she is competitive, but she doesn't want to be in this, like, ultra-competitive game where she's every thought has to be competing with somebody else.
Sure.
And so I think this is a perfect game for that type of person. That is, if you're like, you want to play games with people, but you don't want it to be super conflicting, but also, like, you don't want to, like, burn your brain out trying to think about all these different things going on a board. I think this is a really, really good game for somebody that like that, and that is, that person's my wife, so
I so you're gonna keep it.
I have to keep it, but no, I do, I enjoy this game.
Yeah, like, no, it's really good.
I do enjoy this game, but I think that's that target audience, and I think that's needed, and I think it really fits, is that it's kind of that lower weight, but because there are other games that do kind of like the same thing, but times three, but I think this sits in a really good spot for somebody like that, that you know, you want a little bit less stress in a game like that.
For sure. All right, man. Any other final thoughts before we call it a day?
I mean, we mentioned the art, but I want to mention again, it's so good. It feels so at home. Like, it's just so at homey. And I love the little book. I'm glad they're wooden book tile. Like, I guess, I want to say tiles. I mean, I guess they're tiles, but like,
they're wooden books. They're tokens.
Wooden book tokens. And then obviously the Kickstarter ones have like the different foil and they have different shapes of the book front. I think it's so cool. And then, you know, when you stack them up on your board, I think it just looks like you're stacking books. So overall, like, yeah, knocked it out of the park as far as theme for me, especially when you're like looking at your board. I think it's cool.
Yep, for sure. Awesome, dude. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'd love to get your feedback. even if you're an introvert, there's a whole internet between you and us, and so there's lots of ways that you can reach out and tell us how you feel about it. And we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at The Game Table Podcast. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. You should also like and subscribe. Easy for you to say, Ian. You should also like and subscribe because, you know, we're getting on YouTube and we need people to find us. So
right.
Do the thing.
Do it.
Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for her cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistelin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we have 2 episodes.
Whoa.
Yes. We have a celebration of listeners on Monday and a 2-top episode on Wednesday.
Wow.
But in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
And now I'm going to go organize my games based on colors.
Great.
And then I'm going to go to the game store.
Nope. It's like 9:42 at night. The game store is closed.
I'll find one.
Okay.
No, actually, I need to rest. It's okay.
It's right. You got to build up your social battery.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's what I'll do.